Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
Start my day, all listen to Adam and the gang. Love the take and the going in the country. Love Adam sorty about the childhood that related.
Word. Go to iTunes, rate and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, baby. And I want to thank LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com, enter Adam, and TrueCar. Go to TrueCar.com and download that app, Castrol Edge. We'll tell you about that in a minute. Geico, Geico.com. Okay, so William Bradford was denied parole.
You talk about Bad Bradford?
Bad Bradford, and that was the guy who was the horrible guy who worked for the cable company and killed his wife and was going to kill everybody, and he's old, but he's dangerous, and you guys jumped up when we had John Lewin on here and responded, and because of you guys, he was denied parole.
That's incredible.
Well, it's
kind of... Power the people, man.
Power the people. It is nice what we're able to do. You know, we talk all about the new media and social this and networking and all that kind of stuff. And it's usually the kind of negative effects it takes on troubled teens and stuff like that. But a lot of good stuff can come from it as well.
Indeed.
And I'm happy to say that our audience is very motivated and they participate and they get involved and they take care of business and good comes from it as well. Okay.
We should say thank you to everyone who used the hashtag Absolutely. Bad Bradford.
Thank Got you to everyone across. Who did that. Now I had a sad realization, which is, it's the comment on Trump-Korea meeting. Okay, that's Gary, 66, from South Carolina, is on the phone. Oh, by the way, Max Pata, when I was telling you Kim Jong-un has a weirder haircut than just the high and tight, and I was saying when he walked out and shook Trump's head, and then you showed me pictures from like behind or wildly unsatisfying pictures, didn't prove my point. There are pictures of him where it looks like he's got a bolt coming down the side of his head. Like
yeah.
It is not just high and tight.
Yeah.
It creates something that in certain pictures look insane.
And in the back, there's like a dragon tail point too.
And I don't know if his thing is like, well, look, if you got neck rolls, you want to show them off. You know what I mean? Like, if you got a huge gun, you got to wear a crop top because who's going to see the stretch marks on your belly?
How can you accentuate it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's so weird. Like, you have neck rolls, go ahead and grow the hair down it. All right. Anyway, okay. I guess he's nuts. Anyway, somebody's got some comments on that. I'll tell you about my sad thought in a moment. First, Gary, 66, South Carolina. Gary?
Hello, Adam. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
You make me laugh. I almost had Coke spitting out my nose. So
yeah.
Anyway,
well, freebase it next time, and it won't. You won't have to worry about it.
Well, I was. I mean, Coca-Cola.
Oh, gotcha.
This is South Carolina.
You gotta understand. I hear Gary 66 from South Carolina, and I'm picturing the Bolivian shale with the ladies all over the place.
Right.
But go ahead.
But anyway. No, you're talking about Kim Jong-un. I was telling your screener that I grew up in South Florida, and I remember when we had to hide under our desks.
Oh, right.
And you know, people don't think that it can, happen or it's a real thing. Well, it can happen. Okay. When the Marines bivouacked down the end of my street, I believed it.
When did they do that?
This is the Cuban Missile Crisis, early 60s.
Yeah, you know, it's look,
one of the few benefits of being older.
Yeah, they only understand. I really do believe insane people and bullies and whatever, they just only understand force, and that's it. And that's all we got. I wish we didn't have to waste so many resources and so much time. And so there's a part where it's like, could we just can we just get along? Can we just enjoy ourselves? Right. We're only on the planet for a limited amount of time. Like, do we have to do all of this? Even all the saber rattling is such a waste of time. And, you know, now they're playing all these clips from stuff, and you're hearing Reagan going, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." It's like, yes, why was there a wall? Why were we discussing it? Why did those people on the wrong side of it have to live in misery for 30-something years, you know? Like, really, imagine if you were just randomly born on the wrong side of the Berlin Wall, and from 0 to 37, your life is just miserable and bleak. Great. And then at some... But here's what drives me nuts. What drives me nuts is... I would almost be satisfied if they tore the wall down and it's like, oh, well, now you see how bad it is. Now we have the East Berlins and the West Berlins, and now they're going at it. And thank God we had that wall when we did. So let's start designing a new one. No, they just tear down the wall and then nothing. It just went away. Yeah. It's like if somebody said, hey, every single day of your life, you have to eat a handful of sawdust and then walk around this lamppost 10 times for just every day. And you're like, why? Because you have to. Because if you don't, it's going to be, it's curtain for you. Know. You don't want to know. And then at some day, 40 years in, they just tapped you on the shoulder and you went, what? And they went, you don't have to eat a handful of sawdust or walk around the thing anymore. And you're like, but what? But then what? And they went, oh, nothing. We're just moving on. And then, well, what about me eating the sawdust? Oh, we'll just forget about it. It'll be kind of lost to the, pardon pun, the dustbin of history. Like, it'll just be gone.
Right.
And no one ever goes, like, there's nobody sitting around longing for the wall or going, things would be different. We had a wall up, now we don't.
Right.
It drives me nuts that we're here for such a short period of time, and this is how we work.
I didn't pull it for the news, but did you see the movie trailer that we created to show Kim Jong-un? It is crazy. Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
I think Chris or Kaylin have, if you want to see it.
It feels like a cheap parody video.
But I get it. People are making fun of it and saying, why would we do that? But if you're trying to appeal to an insane megalomaniac, this is how you do it.
Who made it?
Our government,
yeah. You should play the sound.
Where's the sound?
You should play the sound.
Hold on a second. And we'll play it from the beginning.
It's crazy.
It's just such a weird... It's such a...
Well, it's also 4 minutes long.
Such a waste.
We can skip around, but...
Yeah, anyway. There just should be a class action lawsuit against Russia, against Cuba, against North Korea, against many parts of the Middle East, where it's just like, Jesus Christ, if you guys fucking used up so much of our hard drive while we're on this planet with your fucking horrible plans and the way you treat people, and it's like, hey, Otto Warmbier, let's just get this 19-year-old and just traumatize him and then just send him back in a comatose so we can die on your soil. All right, good. Well, at least we got that out of the way. Yeah. Now everything is so much better because we have a 19-year-old who's dead.
Right.
Like,
all the world's time and resources that are being spent on all these things being pointed in the same direction. We cure cancer and ALS and AIDS.
Hunger.
And everything. Yeah, all that stuff.
We'd have an escalator to the moon.
And back. You don't want to go the one way.
Oh, yeah.
You take the stairs back.
Yeah.
Escalator up.
Yes. All right, sorry. Here's the commercial.
1 billion people inhabit planet Earth. Of those alive today, only a small number will leave a lasting impact. And only the very few will make decisions or take actions that renew their homeland and change the course of history. History may appear to repeat itself for generations. Cycles that never seem to end. There have been times of relative peace and times of great tension. While this cycle repeats, the light of prosperity and innovation has burned bright for most of the world. History is always evolving, and there comes a time when only a few are called upon to make a difference. But the question is, what difference will the few make? The past doesn't have to be the future. Out of the darkness can come the light, and the light of hope can burn bright. What if a people that share a common and rich heritage can find a common future? Their story is well known. But what will be their sequel. Destiny Pictures presents A Story of Opportunity.
Production
a new
company.
Story. Yeah. A new beginning.
It has stars.
One of peace. Two men. Two leaders. One destiny. A story about a special moment in time when a man is presented with one chance that may never be repeated.
Wow.
To choose to show vision and leadership.
Someone got a boner.
Or not.
Oh.
There can only be two results. One of moving back.
All right, we get it.
And it even says, starring Donald Trump, Kim Jong-un. It's a movie trailer they made for him.
So weird.
Yeah, got to appeal to him the way he, you know, the way he is, I guess.
I just, okay. I'm fine.
Oh, Dawson, you shouldn't turn into that voiceover role. Everyone would have heard that.
That would have been great.
I'm glad that Trump brought up Otto Warmbier because I like the fact that he said that, you know, maybe this it's a turning point or helped or something. I always feel so horrible for that guy's parents.
Yeah.
Gary? Gary's off the line. Yeah, I just wish. I don't know. I'm at a loss of words here. But I just wish, like, everyone, just look. We're going to be dead soon. Can we just get along and enjoy ourselves here? As I've said more than once, it's kind of just a crazy coincidence that we're even on the planet at the same time. You know, forget about Dawson and Maxipat over there, but everyone in China. The fact that the Earth's calendar is the Earth's calendar.
Blink of an eye.
And
unless
the
you're
fact
North Korea.
That we're just here. At the same time, should be cause enough to just attempt to get along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the fact that we're just here with this blink of the eye and we're trying to gut each
just
other.
Just the cosmic odds of it all.
Right.
And you always think, well, if the aliens ever attack, that's the one way we'd come together. I don't think we would anymore.
No.
I think some of us would side with the aliens to get back at the other guy.
Yep. All right. Somebody's got a couple of thoughts and then we got to hurry. And we'll get to some news and...
And your sad story.
And my sad story. Rich, 38, Chicago.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Hey, long time, first time.
Yeah.
Second time, actually.
Thank you.
I told the screener, thank you, too. Always click through. Got most of the docs. Love it.
Thank you. Really hard, everything. Pre-order uppity, would you please? It helps us pay for the all the other docs.
I'm planning on that for sure. And I told the screener, I called in, like, back, it's probably 3 years ago, 2015, to the Adam and Drew show. And it ended up, I had to hang up, but the episode was called The Boner Clock.
Mm-hmm.
And you did this funny thing about, like, how, like, the boner can go from, like, 12 to 6 o'clock or something. And Drew, of course, didn't get what you were talking about, so he had to over-explain the joke.
I literally had to yell at Drew like 5 times yesterday trying to do a goddamn podcast and crapping all over my humor. He's horrible.
So I was having painful erections, and I couldn't get rid of them without, you know, like, finishing. But so, I got treated for that. It was something called priapism.
Priapism. Yeah. I see your question here is my position / stance on masturbating in someone else's house.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up question on my original call, just maybe halfway as a joke, obviously. But
All right, let's see if we can lay down some groundwork. Like, if you invite Gina over and you pull your dick out, you're in your entry hall, then it's fine.
Yeah, it's your house. Do what you want.
Here's what I would say. Not great juju. And not great decorum.
Not great goo-goo.
I would watch it these days with all the nanny cams and all everything everywhere.
A lot of surveillance.
Nest and all what and what Simply Safe and whatnot. There's eyes everywhere. Everyone's computer and everyone's got their you know, their Alexa and their whatever. Mm-hmm. Who
She'll
knows?
Tell on you right
who
quick.
Knows these days? So you know, do it at your own risk. I would say tossing one off in the shower might be acceptable. Mm-hmm. Not encouraged, But I would say if you're house sitting at my house, okay. let's say.
That's yeah. where it's done.
You were going to take care of a little business and it was a multi-day affair and you want to blow off a little steam. I'd say if I had my druthers, I would say go for the shower.
I think in that case it's expected and welcomed.
Welcome.
That's right. And welcome.
Person, yeah, by the person
celebrated. You're right.
My
you're
God.
Right. You're right. I made you some muffins for beating yeah. off.
2 days is a long time.
Yeah. So I would say my position would be standing up and my stance would be standing up once again in the shower. And I will say this, guys, young newbies, young newbie jackophiles out there. Do not get married to the, oh, I got to be on my back, and no. I got to have my toes pointed, and I got to have my T-shirt in my mouth. Otherwise, no. Get used to, you want to be the Swiss Army knife of beating off. Like, you want to be like, hey, man, if I got to go in the shower, I'll take care of it in the shower. If I got to go in the pup den, I'll lay it down. Like, I'll do what I got to do.
Everyone in the NBA at one point in their younger career, high school, whatever, was told, like, you know, work, go to your left, work on your left, work on your jump shot, whatever
yeah,
that weakness
to your
in
left.
Your, use lotion.
Whatever that weakness in your game is, yeah. and then right. play, and then play basketball.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Go to your left. Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's right.
All right. Thank you. Real quick. I don't think. Oh, is this gone? Oh, line five's dropped off. All right. Good.
Line one,
rich man, poor man. All right, just one. Then we'll clear the lines. We'll get to the news in a second. Jeremy, 39, rich man, poor man. Let's see, Michigan. That's right. Jeremy. Oh, Jeremy. Sorry. Jeremy, 39, Michigan.
Yeah.
All right.
He's giving us lots of things.
Rich man, poor man. At a horse.
Anybody who spends a lot of time at a horse stable.
Yeah, okay.
On a consistent basis. Yeah, sure. That's good. Shantner and then.
It's not a middle class.
Are you shoveling? Are you going to visit poop. Your.
That's not a middle class.
Your mayor.
It's good. Solid.
Okay.
My sad story. So I was at the San Marino car show. I actually brought 12 cars to the San Marino car show, 10 Newman cars for the biggest showing of Newman cars ever. And there was some Lambos. We got some Lambo pictures up there. You can go to amcrol.com awesome. And take a look at an old 60s Lambo. Where's that Mira, man? I love that Mira. It's the greatest color in the world. The color of that car, it's called Medio Blue. It's medium blue. It is just the best color on one of the best shaped cars ever. But anyway, my sad thought was, I was thinking about it and I got a bunch of tweets like, hey, it was in the Los Angeles Times.
Yeah. LA Weekly.
In LA Weekly. And everyone I know is in Los Angeles, or my entire family's in Los Angeles, including the people I live with. And I never heard a word from anybody because nobody reads the Los Angeles Times or nobody, whatever. I don't know if my dad gets it or not. But my sad thought is that I had 12 cars at a golf course and was kind of the star of the show, and it was a beautiful sunny day and blah, blah, blah. And then I was like...
And they were beating down your door for tickets. I get it.
Yeah. It was in San Marino, and then I was like, wait a minute. I think my dad lives in like Pasadena or Pasadena South or whatever it is. And then at a certain point I went... I bet my dad lives closer than 6 miles from this car show. Now, here's the saddest part. It's not like he refused to go. I would have even crossed my mind to tell him, which is, we have to have the worst relationship ever, right? Like, how can this be? He doesn't even dislike me. I got to get off the plane from Portland, and then I got to drive out from the Burbank airport. And
there's
I'll drive
no direct
out to
flights. Got to connect in Vegas,
San Marino, and blah blah blah. He lives 5.1 miles from this thing. It wouldn't even jump into my head to bring it up to him. Later on this weekend will be Beverly Hills car show, Father's Day, then Jimmy Kimmel rents out UCLA girls softball field for softball game, in which I will then have my long-running tradition of hanging out with Jimmy's dad
on Father's Day.
On Father's Day.
Special.
It's just a weird, I don't know, is there anyone else wired like my dad? He's not an alcoholic. He's not a womanizer.
No long history of abuse.
No, anything. It's just like, I don't know how uninterested you could get in life. This is the coolest cars in the coolest location.
And yours.
Or there's that, and there's Beverly Hills and whatever. I think one time, I used to have these notions where every like 5 years I'd go, why don't we do something normal? And I did go the Beverly Hills Rodeo Drive car show, Father's Day car show. They have the coolest stuff in the world. It's in the greatest setting in the world, right in the Beverly Hills. I know all those guys. Why don't we just go there for Father's Day? And he was like, something with cars, but okay. And I was like, look at it more as us just walking around and not so much. The cars
enjoying
will just
sunshine.
Be an excuse or whatever. And he kind of agreed to it. And then like on that night or that morning, he said, not feeling well. And we just never went. And I don't think I've ever talked to him about it again.
Jesus.
It's the weirdest. I can never wrap my mind around it. It's hurtful. It makes me angry, but it's more confusing. Mm-hmm. Like, why wouldn't you? You 5 miles away. He lives much closer to the San Marino show than I live to the San Marino show, or I guess most of the people who showed up then. Now, again, he didn't know about it, although it was probably in the newspaper, but it's weird. Dawson, questions?
Yeah, I know this probably costs you a lot of money to get all those cars out there, and they definitely use it as a promotional push to get people there. I'm curious, do they offer you a stipend, or do they cover your costs, or are you just out of pocket for getting a shitload of cars in there?
You are out of pocket. They will pay for the transport rig, but we ended up transporting a lot of them on our own. And yes, you're out of pocket. And it probably should be a write-off, by the way.
It's a donation.
And but in a world where I have mentioned that people have publicists for their cars and publicists for their car collection, and a Ferrari GTO sold for $70 million, the thought behind it is, yes, it's going to cost you several hundred dollars to get these cars out here, but once they're photographed and seen and put in the Los Angeles Times, and your dad goes running down the hall with the newspaper over his head,
boy,
ringing a bell, screaming at the top of his lungs, that's your payment.
That makes perfect sense. You're putting a dime in the meter, and you'll park one day.
Thank you.
Can I make you feel hopefully a little better?
Mm-hmm.
I had to tweet this because after I read the article, there is a standout line from this article that made me laugh and made me so happy.
What article?
The article about you.
And the
this one was from the LA Weekly. There might have been more than one article.
Mm-hmm.
But this says, this is quoting you, "No one can say definitively what some of these cars are worth because they don't sell, they don't have a market," explains the comic, who is obviously doing pretty well for himself.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yep. All right. Shall we take? Let me do a little spot, and then we'll get into some news. Yes.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about LifeLock. Ooh, FBI issued an urgent request to reboot your home or office internet router now to disrupt the massive foreign-based malware attack. Hundreds of thousands of routers already compromised. So the threats in today's digital world. Good thing. Then I got LifeLock. I've told you, thieves are lazy. They do not want to get bit by a dog. They don't want to get cut by broken glass. They want to sit at their computer, and they want to rip you off from the comfort and safety of their own home, apartment, God knows where they are around the world these days. Theft protection now includes the power of Norton Security for added protection. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help protect against identity theft, like your info being on sale on the dark web. Norton helps protect against online threats like ransomware. So if you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't because you have LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft, but new LifeLock with Norton Security can uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Join now, and for the first year, get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Come back. Do some news. Gina Grant.
Give me the news with Grant. News with Gina Grant. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grant. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina. Gina Grant.
The news with Gina Grant.
This story from CBS was getting a little traction. Wanted to know if you'd heard about it yet. They report that a new program in Central Florida is training everyday people to stop potential school shooters. We've talked about that on this show. School safety guardians have the job of protecting students and teachers on campuses that do not have their own school resource officer. Now, these guardians, by the way, they're just normal citizens. One's a church pastor. One's a former teacher. They're just people. They train from morning till night. They'll earn about $30,000 a year. That's less than a school resource officer.
I got the exact same feelings about this that I have with North Korea, which is, do we really have to, whatever? And it's like, I guess so. Mm. Like, okay, then we do.
Yeah.
Like, you want to live in a world where, no, I don't.
But here
I'd
we
like
are.
To build a time machine and go back to Norman Rockwell's 1941. But
seeing as we're here.
Seeing as we're here.
Probably do something.
And when the shit goes down, I would not mind somebody who knew how to use a firearm somewhere nearby. I would be hopeful for that. I would imagine if you did a polling, a very uncomfortable polling, where you got all of the fucking families together of every kid and faculty member that had been massacred at a school shooting in the last decade, and you took these extended family and you put about 2,000 people in a goddamn basketball auditorium, and they go, let's take a vote. Who here wishes there was somebody with some training with a gun nearby when before or during the time your son or daughter was being massacred at school? Do you think no one would raise their hand? Or would every fucking person raise their hand? And if every fucking person raises their hand, then all you pious pricks on MSNBC, fucking get your dicks out of your asses and shut up. Because that's what they would want. You go, oh, how's this going to solve anything? L.A. Times. Oh, then what? Less death or turns into Wild West? Or I don't know. Why don't we ask every parent of a kid who was massacred if they would like that? We'll let them take a vote, and then we'll see how they vote. My thought is every single one of them says, oh, yes, I would give everything I had for somebody to be nearby with some training and a pistol.
And
so if that's our answer, then there you go.
To your point, the man who sort of spearheaded this from the beginning was a father of one of the daughters, the children killed in the Parkland incident. So these guardians, by the way, just so you don't think they're just picking them up off the street, they have to pass background, psychological checks, intensive courses, including firearms training, blah, blah, blah.
Assholes at the LA Times fucking article in their op-ed piece of shit rag. I'm glad I never saw their fucking article on my Lambos.
While you're doing that, if you want somebody else that agrees with you, here's a clip of Polk County, that's in Florida, Sheriff Grady Judd responding to a question from CBS regarding parents who don't want guns on school campuses. This is what he said.
That's a Grady Judd?
He's coming.
What about parents who are uncomfortable with more guns on campus or any guns on campus?
Wait, stop it there. The more guns is the one the nut job teenager has that's slaughtering everyone. You mean more
than that one?
Than that one, yes. Then I would be. All right, but go ahead. She could mean security officer, but go ahead.
Those parents need to wake up and understand this is a new normal. This is the last best chance to save your child when all the different layers of security have failed. And their job is simply this, to be well-trained, to react within seconds, to find the active shooter and kill him graveyard dead before he can hurt your child with a gun. But when they finish their training, they're going to be better trained with more hours and a higher proficiency than a state certified police officer.
All right. Look, it's where we're at. And so here's the thing. First off, I saw Red Dawn. So I've been pushing for this for a long, long time.
So you know a thing or two about this.
You saw that documentary.
Yeah. It was based on events. I don't think it was an actual doc. I can look that up, but it was an actual doc. But Look, pussies, you don't like guns. I get it. Guns are evil. People who like guns are evil. People who like guns hate everybody and love guns, and they're racist and everything else. All right, putting all that aside, if you can just have a sort of mature adult relationship with guns and look at them like I look at cars or look at any other airplanes, they're not inherently evil. They do some good and then some crash. And then we all know people have been in a horrible car wreck or maybe even lost a family member to a car wreck. But it doesn't mean we don't like the people. We don't like car people. We don't like people. It's just a gun. It's a car. It's an airplane. It's a steam shovel. It's something. And people get hurt. People get hurt on cranes building buildings all day, every day. Okay, so now that we've removed the part where we've turned it into a bad thing and an evil thing, and now we can just think logically and go, would we like this or not like this if somebody walked onto campus with one? I, as a parent, go, yeah. And I'm not a gun guy. I have kids at school. And if somebody said, would you like folks running around in plain clothes with guns? I'd say, properly trained, sober, background checked? Yes, I would. And do you like that we live in this world? No, I don't. But we live in a world we've already established with lots of things we don't like. L.A. Times, once again, worthless rag. What was their quote? One more time, just so everyone can hear what a pile of shit they are.
All right, here goes. As a society, we tend to become particularly shocked, at least for a few minutes, when someone shoots down children and young adults while they're attending classes in what should be a positive, nurturing, and safe environment. But even if we're shocked, we tolerate it. Our outrage is more Pavlovian than visceral. We listen to the bleatings of the gun enthusiasts that, well, if those teachers had guns, then this wouldn't have been as bad. Been as bad. Think about that. If a pistol-strapping chemistry teacher had grabbed her 45 and unloaded on today's gunman after he killed, what, one student? Three? Five? That would be good news?
Of course it'd be good news. And that's why you're imbeciles. And that's why no one should ever listen to any fucking thing you write. Because you've proven yourself to be an imbecile. You're an insane, whoever wrote that's an insane person. You've made your argument with your argument, and you've not helped. I don't know. What if there was a school bus crash? What if there were one kid in that school bus versus 20 in that school bus? Would that be better? Yeah, be a ton better. Just use school bus that everyone died in. And the max is, 15. And then you just keep doing the math as we go down. And then you ask retards at LA Times. Although, thanks for the shout out on the Newman collection.
Sometimes it's blind squirrel.
Would it be better? Of course it'd be better. You've proven yourself to be a total asses. And by the way, like, idiots. Like, I wouldn't read a fucking thing you wrote because you don't make sense. You just wrote, what you wrote was the opposite of sense. And of course, you're going to spin it into, you know, gun-toting chemistry teacher, science teacher, she reach for a 45. No, that's not what this is. All right, so I'm fine with it. But I'm fine with, look, you go to the mall and there's security there. Who do you think that is? SEAL Team 6? Leaders? Or that's just people with some training who stand at openings and try to scare people away? The main thing is, look, if every kid who thought about going to a school and shooting up other kids and the school had to think there are people walking around this campus with guns and they're not in uniform and I don't know who they are, that would slow your roll a lot. And I know that.
Right, it's more preventative than reactionary.
Yes, it's there to, you want to get a body count. The plan is, how long can I shoot before bullets start coming my way? Whatever that period of time is, if we can shrink it down to next to nothing, then we're going to save a lot of people. But I don't think a lot of these kids are even going to go on to campuses. Now, it could be sad. They may start showing up at Chuck E. Cheese's. Right. I mean, they might start going other places, but what they're looking for is soft targets. So all you pussies out there with your big gun-free zones, that's just advertising to let these people know you're a soft target. Jesus Christ. All right, anyway, I got to go to Ted Nugent's. We're doing bow hunting in a couple minutes, so let's get going right here. Yeah, okay. All right, let me tell you about TrueCar. MSRP, you might know what it stands for, but what does it mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. Confusing. Introducing True Price from TrueCar. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you get to the dealership. You know your true price is great because it's priced by True Car, and they compete amongst each other. So the guys that are certified by True Car are now competing with other certified True Car dealers to get you the best price they can. Certified dealers set their price competitively. Our own Max Zapata got his Prius over there.
Heck of a deal.
Doesn't even know how many miles are on it.
43,000.
You checked.
I did.
Good for you. So, when you're ready to buy new or you want to go used, and that's about the only options you have, new or used, you go with True Car. You enjoy a more confident car buying experience. True Car, some features not available in all states. All right, Gina Wells.
We'll switch gears a little bit. Don't know if you heard about the Minnesota raccoon, but it was a big deal the last 24 hours. This daring little raccoon in Minnesota has become a little viral sensation. He's living the high life, they're saying, after he scaled a side of a 23-story concrete building. Wow. It's actually kind of insane. I'm just letting some tape play while I read this so you can watch him scale the building. He drew a crowd at the UBS Tower in St. Paul on Tuesday. They nervously watched him claw his way to the top. Social media dubbed him the MP. Yep.
He's scaling the face of that building.
That's... literally crawling up the side of the building. It was the first spotted at the Minnesota PR public radio building, which is why they're calling him MPR raccoon, right across the street. Twitter was updated throughout the day with each new level he'd reach. Finally made it to the roof. Animal trappers left a food-filled trap up there to catch him. Now the little guy's he's in their custody. He's not hurt. And he scaled the side of a building. I did not know they could do that.
I got to tell you, in the life of, like, you know, like when you see people doing curling and you kind of go, I bet if my dad got me started when I was eight, I could probably make the Olympics or something. The human fly guys, the guys that free climb the side of those skyscrapers and stuff, that is
crazy.
Quietly the hairiest, insane, and takes so much strength and dexterity. I mean, the guys who go with, like, I'm free climbing, and that's insane. Also, had to be a weird conversation for the guys down at Animal Control, and the guy's like, I'm getting my raccoon cage, I'm going up to the roof of the UBS building. Like, for what? A raccoon. Bob, hold on. Did you say hawk? No, the raccoons, 23rd floor. They don't go to the roof.
The guys
so much.
That rummage through the trash?
Yeah, like they get loose in dumpsters and people's basement and stuff. But
they don't attack a cat, I suppose.
Yeah, but they don't hang out on the roof. Yeah. Now, look, if you want to go blow a joint on the roof of the UBS building, that's fine.
Code for catch a raccoon.
I'll save you some time right now and leave the cage down here. Wow.
Yeah, and he's okay. He didn't fall, nothing.
If that were New York, there'd be people underneath yelling, jump. Right?
Well, remember the guy who tried to scale Trump Tower?
Yeah.
And he made it up pretty far, too. People were actually pretty impressed. And then remember the SWAT team or whoever knocked the window out and just grabbed him and pulled him in?
I know.
That's not the humor of those SWAT guys.
I know.
It jacks you up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, ABC News reports that Dennis Hoff, the owner of half a dozen legal brothels in Nevada and star of the HBO adult series Cat House, he won a Republican primary for the state legislature on Tuesday, ousting a three-term lawmaker. Hoff celebrated with his win at a party in Pahrump.
How do you celebrate?
A tea party in Pahrump, and Heidi Fleiss was there. Hoff wrote the book Art of the Pimp. He's dubbed himself the Trump of Pahrump and held a rally with longtime Trump advisor Roger Stone.
You guys ever been to Pahrump?
Been through it.
Yeah.
No one's I've stayed
been,
there.
No one's
why would you do that?
I was shooting a TV show, and I had to stay there. My God. You do not want to spend any... Like, roll your windows
any less
up
than
and
5 days?
Speed through that place.
Oh, okay.
Don't
oh, it's scary. I mean, this is 10 years ago, but oh, my God. And Heidi Fleiss living there with her, like, 17 macaws.
Mm-hmm. Her birds.
Yeah,
right.
She was there.
She got all her birds. Yeah.
You know, I used to not like Dennis Hoff. He was, you know, the gimmicky guy, and for obvious reasons. Then he did our show a few years ago, and he was a there he is.
Wow, look at those two.
He was a compelling interview.
Yeah, he actually... A guy like that, he has like a rap. But if you get rid of the rap and you just start getting into the story part, it kind of lets down the rap guard and starts telling the story. It was very interesting. Compelling. You know the thing that's crazy about Heidi Fleiss that I don't believe I've ever brought up?
The thing?
Her dad was a very prominent pediatrician in this city who was sort of the hippie kid's pediatrician, and I think he was all of our doctors when I was a kid. If you look up Heidi Fleiss's dad, he's a prominent, sort of good vibes pediatrician who worked in like this Silver Lake area. Like you couldn't think of a. You think she was a runaway from Canada, and her dad was a lumberjack or something? Like, look him up, and I'll tell you about. You can find the name of what was his first name?
Paul
Fleiss. He's a pediatrician, like who worked on the hippie kids.
Wow!
All right, let me tell you about Castro Ledge, and then you can get the lowdown on him. Tech advances made engines smaller, more powerful, more efficient, but the pressure's on, man. They're working harder. You need to protect them. Castro Ledge, a collaborator with Electronic Arts, to present adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer. You've heard me talk about this before. Really cool film. I'll call it a film, a short film. Better than that Trump love letter to Kim Jong over there. Go check it out at Castrol USA YouTube page. A really cool driving film, and check that out.
You were dead on, sir. Here's what it says. Paul Murray Fleiss, an American pediatrician, author known for his unconventional medical views, Fleiss was a popular and sought-after pediatrician in the greater L.A. area, both among poor and middle-class patients living near Los Feliz, kind of near Silver Lake, like you said. Fleiss was a breastfeeding and anti-circumcision advocate. He recommended but did not insist upon childhood vaccinations and stated he, quote, could be convinced either way to whether HIV causes AIDS. And in 94, he pleaded guilty to conspiracy and bank fraud in relation to his daughter's prostitution.
This is a crazy.
Trying to help his daughter.
This is
poor guy probably gave her $10,000 not knowing it was for.
70s hippie. Like, this is if Cat Stevens became a pediatrician in the 70s and his daughter turned out to be Heidi Fleiss. It's just insane.
Doesn't match up, yeah. It's incongruous.
Right.
Yeah, that's insane.
He was really. Kid doctor, hippy-dippy kid doctor.
Yeah, he didn't require vaccinations. He's anti-circumcision.
Weird, right?
Very.
Yeah, I don't think most people know that part of her.
And you or someone you know, that was it was your doctor?
I went to the hippie school off of like Hyperion in Silver Lake when I was like in the... third grade, I went to the hippie. So all the hippy dippy kids, and I don't mean like hippie, I'm talking about sort of Jewish hippie, kind of a little more money, but still
chosen
down
hippie.
With the 70s vibe, right. You know, the kids whose parents, it's kind of a latter day version of what's going on now, which is like the parents of like the kids of Gwyneth Paltrow are like hippie kids, right. And she's like hippie mom, but she's rich. Right. You know, it wasn't quite that, but I just mean these guys had big houses and stuff, but this is the 70s. You know what I mean? Like they were not down with vaccinations and don't eat red meat and a lot of Billy Jack shit going on. And he was the doctor for them. Because he was a fucking nut job who wasn't into vaccinations or circumcisions. All the shit they thought. They were wrong about everything except for one thing they never brought up, which was cancer causing and did fuck everyone's shit up. And it's called the sun. But you fucking pussies love the sun because you're hippies and you hate microwaves because you don't like microwave ovens because GE also makes turbojet engines that go on bombers. So how could that be good? Mm-hmm. Wonder Bread, that's white. Mm-hmm. That's made by the man.
That's enriched.
Okay. All that and red meat, that's all bad. Yeah. Everything's bad,
processed.
Right? But the sun, that's free to be you and me. Go to the beach, get naked, run around. How could the sun be bad? because a defense contractor didn't make the sun, and it wasn't part of big pharma. Right. I didn't have big anything. It's just the sun. Well, the one fucking thing these assholes, everyone is fucked up on, is nobody wore sunscreen, and everyone spent way too much time walking around in cut-off shorts with no shirt on, because that was cool, because that wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. So they were wrong about everything, and this guy was fucking anti-vaccination. Fuck him. No. Glad his daughter turned into a madam. They're just fucking, all their theories were wrong. Now, look ahead today. See about guns. Guns are bad. You know, it's the same group of non-thinkers who have to fucking graft this on to everything. Like, guns are bad vibes. Microwaves are bad vibes. A Wonder Bread's bad vibes. Everything's bad vibes, but the sun are good vibes. Mm-hmm. They miss everything all the time. The sun, my mom didn't like pillows. She thought that pillows screwed up your spine. The list of shit they were wrong about is miles and miles long. It was all preservatives. Oh, preservatives. Well, that's got preservatives in it. That's got preservatives in it. Oh, that's got red dye number 7 in it. That's got dye in it for food coloring.
That's processed. That's processed.
That's processed. That's got that. They're wrong about everything, and they never brought up the sun. Not once. None of them. Not the doctors, not the nut job hippie moms. None of them ever said, hey, you've been out on the front lawn for now 3 hours now, and you're getting kind of red. Like, put a t-shirt on or come in. Oh, no. Because the sun has a positive image in their mind.
It's like nature.
A sunflower. Yeah. That was their thing. It's like, okay. All right. So you guys are assholes and you're idiots because in your mind, guns bad, Wonder Bread bad, sun happy.
Gun bad, sun good.
There you go.
Well, how would you draw the sun with a big smile on its face?
Yes. Right. So it's just good, retarded science. And also, now here's my point. Is there anything else you'd like me to listen to you assholes about? What thoughts do you have about today that I could hear when all you've done has been wrong your entire fucking life, and now you want to share some pearls of wisdom? Fuck you. I'm not listening. And this is why I'm not listening to anybody with all their fucking third-hand smoke and all their fucking shit. It's the kids of those assholes that are talking about this. You see? Mm-hmm. The assholes who write for the Los Angeles Times. All these fucking assholes. That's all it is. All right. So don't listen to anyone. Thank you. I'm fired up today.
Well, speaking of vaccines, researchers...
And nice job on your daughter.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking to the doctor now?
Yeah. Nice job. Yeah. Fighting the great battle against foreskins. What a fucking hero. And vaccinations.
Yeah.
What a fucking hero. Good. Quack. It's idiot. I'll tell you what pisses me off. Please study some science on something and then come back with something. Don't just listen to fucking Jenny McCarthy about vaccinations. Drives me nuts. Yeah. And where's our apologies? When do they ever come forth and go, oh, I'm wrong? They ever could do that
part?
Never
really correct.
It's just, Jenny McCarthy's going to go to Oprah. She's going to get a lot of people not to vaccinate their kids. And then she's going to go blow Donnie Wahlberg. Okay, great. You got dumb women to listen to you. Fantastic. And now they're doing something that's potentially dangerous for their kids. Great job.
Yeah, you do owe a lot of people.
We need more people like you. Idiots. Why would you listen to these people? That's the whole thing. But this guy's a doctor, and he's telling you, all right.
He's an authority.
All right, where was I? One more.
All right. Well, speaking of vaccines, researchers at St. Louis University are paying volunteers $3,500 and a free stay at a hotel for 12 days with catered meals. What could the catch possibly be? Well, you have to be willing to be exposed to the flu in order to test a new flu vaccine. Volunteers will get a vaccine shot or a placebo and then get exposed to the virus through a nasal spray.
The one time you're hoping for the placebo.
If you don't mind possibly suffering through a bad bout of the flu, this seems like it could be a good deal. According to reports, quote, the university spent about $350,000.
Does the hotel have a DVR or TiVo? Because if I cannot control that goddamn TV set, I am out.
You're not going.
Especially because you're going to be up throwing up every 20 minutes, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, that's
And also,
true.
Hotels, can we get going with this shit? Please let us control the TV set.
Yeah. Feels overdue.
My thoughts about traveling, whatever anxiety about traveling would be cut in way less than half if I just thought I could control my TV. If I could say, hey, I'm going to be in room 327, I have like a couple of my car shows banked waiting for me, and an episode of I'm Dying Up Here, and that'll just be waiting for me when I check in at 8:30 at night.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a big deal.
Seems reasonable, especially maybe like for that could be a perk for like you know gold level, you know, or whatever the freaking traveler.
Pretty
thing
easy.
Is.
Yeah, just let's do that. Let's just seems let me control it,
doable.
Or at least just give me a remote where I could hit pause. Go into the bathroom or the shower stall.
Take care of some business.
Take care of a little business and come back. And the idea of not being able to control that TV set when you're sitting in that room and you go, oh, I got to go to the bathroom, or whatever. And it's like, oh, it's running. So what year is it and why not? And I know in a world where it's like, hey, free jelly beans, or come on down and get some, that was in the 70s. Okay. It'd be like color TV and free jelly beans.
HBO.
It's like, oh, an HBO and air conditioning and the free Wi-Fi. In a world where all you guys do is throw out stuff to get us to go to your place and not the other place, this would be huge.
Yeah.
Control your TV
and
set.
Not a big ask either. This technology has been around for quite some time. It feels like it's in a lot of smart TVs and a lot of boxes. It's everywhere.
And it's no cost. You already have it hooked up.
Could
to the hotel.
You imagine living in your home without the ability to control your TV set? The thought would just be unimaginable, right? All right. People who run hotels, anytime somebody said, could you imagine this at your home? And the person would just go, ugh, no way. I couldn't make it one night. Use that. And apply that to the room we're staying in, because that's the way we feel. Look, it could be without any towels or running water, but I mean, they've taken care of all that.
The basics, yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you about Geico. Oh, everyone's got the to-do list. Coach up hotel chains, take out the garbage. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your auto insurance and you don't have to go anywhere? Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day. Geico.com. 15 minutes, could be saving 15% or more. On our insurance, that's geico.com. All right, Gina Grad, you bring it home?
We'll bring it home. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
This hemorrhoid pillow is awesome.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
The hemorrhoid cushion or pillow?
I always heard pillow.
I always heard pillow. Good. Thousand Oaks, Borderline Bar and Grill, July 27th. We're doing a live pod out there, so come on out and say hi. Those are fun. Mm-hmm. Haven't done them in
a while.
So we'll get out and do that. Pasadena Ice House, August 29th. Dr. Drew up on stage.
All right.
Home turf. We love that. Seattle Moore Theater, September 13th. Live pod again at beautiful Moore. And then we're going on a cruise, everybody. So go to amcroll.com for all that and check out Chassis and all the offerings there. And you can watch the live stream of the show on Facebook page, on my Facebook page. And let's see. What do we got? The Simpsons producer, huh?
Mike Reese is on tomorrow.
Oh, that's tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, as you hear this, so today
at
4 p.m. Eastern, go on your Facebook page, see how the fudge is packed.
Gotcha.
That's what I needed help for. And by the way, it's sausage is made. Fudge is packed. It's homoerotic and weird and offensive to the gay community, the LGBTQ plus community.
Positive.
So, till next time. Adam Carolla
Tom Patterson.
Tom Patterson and Gina Grandball Brian Zane. Mahalo. If you got neck rolls, you want to show them off.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail. I'll say it slow for you. The phone number is 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, man-gray events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.